waves get lost in the ocean. 7 billion swimmers, man, I'm going through the motions. Sent up a flare, I need love and devotion. Traded for some faces that I'll never know, notion. Maybe I should try to find the old me. Take me to the places and the people that know me. Trying to just connect, thinking maybe you could show me. There's so many people here, then why am I so lonely? Good friends, hard to find, let's face it.
That's right, let's face it. Finding a meaningful, authentic, and holy connection with someone else is really difficult. See, the singer we just heard says he's surrounded by 7 billion swimmers in the ocean, but gets lost in the waves. Well, this song came out in 2018, so today we have more like 8 billion swimmers in the ocean. And still, it's easy for us to get lost in the waves. It's kind of a paradox, really. See, we are more connected to more people than we have ever been, yet often feel utterly alone. Have you felt it? Like you're lost in a sea of faces? See, most of us are surrounded by people, yet our souls cry out the same question from that song. If there's so many people here, why am I so lonely? If you have struggled or you're currently struggling with feelings of loneliness, well, please understand that you are ironically not alone. As a matter of fact, a government study looked at trends starting back in 2003 and concluded at the end of 2020, and it showed that America was in the midst of not one epidemic, but two. One was COVID, but the other was the quiet epidemic of loneliness. See, this study showed that from 2003 to 2020, family engagement decreased by 5 hours a month. Spending time with friends decreased by 20 hours a month. And time spent just doing any enjoyable activity with someone else decreased by 10 hours a month. And where did all that time go? Well, in that same stretch of time, social isolation increased 24 hours a month. See, it proved what many of us have been feeling and thinking for quite a while. We are more connected, yet more alone than we've ever been. And newsflash, it isn't good for us. Even the Department of Health and Human Services concluded from this study. They said extensive scientific findings from a variety of disciplines, including epidemiology, neuroscience, medicine, psychology, and sociology, converge on the same conclusion. Social connection is a significant predictor of longevity and better physical, cognitive, and mental health, while social isolation and loneliness are significant predictors of premature death and poor health. In fact, the benefits of social connection extend beyond health-related outcomes. They influence an individual's educational attainment, workplace satisfaction, economic prosperity, and overall feelings of well-being and life fulfillment. Now, I know that some of us listening here might be a little suspicious of government findings. I get it. So how about we go back to the beginning and let's see what God has to say about loneliness. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. God tells us straight up, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, there you go. It's pretty straightforward, right? So as we move forward, can we all at least agree that it is not good for us to be in isolation and to be alone? So then we need to go back to our main question. If there are so many people here, why am I so lonely? How is it possible in our day and age when everyone is connected to everyone else that we could possibly still feel alone? How can we be one call, one email, one text, one stream, one post away from connecting with literally anyone in the entire world, yet still feel like no one really knows who we are? Well, let me answer that by asking you another question. When we try and connect with someone, what is the universal question that we all ask? How are you doing, right? Here's the thing. We all basically give the exact same answer as a response, don't we? Let's practice. Try it. Hey, how you doing? Yep. I'm guessing you said or you thought good, maybe great. I like to say I'm living the dream. But is it the truth? See, I'm guessing if you're anything like me, if we were alone and I asked you how you were doing, you'd probably hope that your answer of good or great would be enough for me to not prod any deeper. And why is that? Well, it's because if I ask you again, how are you really doing? You might have to be honest with me. And that's when things start to get real, right? That's when things start to get uncomfortable. So if there's so many people here, why am I so lonely? It's because you don't want other people to know who you really are or how you're really doing. You don't want to be that vulnerable with someone else. See, that's the truth for most of us. But today, God wants to change that. Today, God wants to free you from the pain of loneliness, the duplicity of individualism, and the disappointment of our shallow relationships. Now, the cure for loneliness is indeed community, but it goes much deeper than just having people around you, because you already have people around you, don't you? See, God wants to replace your false narrative that says, I'll just remain isolated and unknown, with the truth, which is that you were made to know and be known. You were made to know and be known. That is the truth. You were made to know and be known by God, and you were made to know and be known by others. Now, if we turn to Scripture, it is filled with the importance of knowing the Lord and being known by Him. If we look back at what the psalmist sings, he says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. And then later on in that same psalm, the author says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. My friends, you are fully known by your Creator. He is intimately aware and concerned about every thought you've had, decision you've made, belief you've claimed, action you've taken, and every detailed word that you've spoken. But here's an even crazier truth. God wants us to know Him. The Apostle Paul tells us we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. See, the Holy Spirit, God, comes and dwells within us when we become followers of Jesus and teaches us about who He is and who we are in Him. And Jesus also describes God's desire for us to know Him and be known by Him when He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Isn't that amazing? Now, as I said, not only are you made to know and be known by God, but you are also made to know and be known by other followers of Jesus. If we look in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Now, if you tuned in last week and you heard Kendall and Sherry's message on marriage, you heard them talking through this verse in the context of developing a healthy and thriving marriage. And do you know why that is? It's because these behaviors unite us in Christ, and they allow us to truly know and be known by one another. See, showing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another are powerful things to give someone else. They sound an awful lot like the fruit of the Spirit, don't they? That's because they are. And the fruit of the Spirit manifest in and through us equips us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, not only to our spouses, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to let someone really know me, and I mean really know me, not just the good stuff, but that dark and nasty stuff that I try and hide at all costs, then I most definitely want and need love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience lavished upon me. So let me ask you this. Apart from your spouse, do you have any other Christ followers that do this for you? Friends that lavish the fruit of the Spirit on you and truly know you and love you faults and all. And then just as importantly, apart from your spouse, do you lavish the fruit of the Spirit and love on any other Christian friends, their faults and all? Now, I'm not just talking about your run-of-the-mill friends here. No, no, no. I'm talking about holy friendships. You need holy friendships. Do you know what makes a friend holy? Well, I have a fun acronym that I'm going to share with you that can help you remember and figure out what a holy friend looks like. See, a holy friend is honest. That's a friend that doesn't just tell you what you want to hear, but rather a friend that tells you what you need to hear. A holy friend is open, or in other words, a friend that is vulnerable with you. A friend that isn't afraid to shine God's light into the depth of your soul and isn't afraid to have that same light shine into them. See, it's a friend who has your best interest at heart. A holy friend is also loyal. That's a friend that doesn't give up on you when things get ugly, but rather sticks with you through the dark and challenging seasons that we all face in this life. And then finally, a holy friend is yeasty. That's right, you heard it correctly, a yeasty friend. See, that's a friend that is willing to get into your life and spur you on towards knowing and becoming more like Jesus. See, just as yeast mixes into the dough and fundamentally changes it and makes it grow, your holy friend dramatically changes you and helps you grow. So you may be listening and just thinking, you know what, I honestly can say that I have a lot of friends. You know what? That's great. Do you have any holy friends? So if you ask any therapist, they'll tell you that 50% of the people that come in for counseling, they simply need a friend. John 15, Jesus tells his followers, "You are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." See, Jesus had holy friends who he fully knew and who fully knew him. See, we were created for meaningful friendships. The reality is that Scripture talks about these holy relationships and friendships a ton. If you read the New Testament in the original Greek, you would see the word allelon 100 times. We translate it as one another. That means there are 100 commands on how we are to one another each other. We're told to accept one another, be at peace with one another, and pray for one another. In the letter to the Galatians, we're told to share each other's burdens. And then one of my favorites is in Hebrews. We're told, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, this text points us toward the true purpose of knowing and being known, and that is to move us all toward greater Christ-likeness. See, that phrase to motivate in that verse can also be translated as stirring up or even provoking. It's a very forceful word used to describe how important knowing and being known is by other Jesus followers to our spiritual growth. It is essential to our spiritual growth to have others around us. See, ultimately, being known and knowing others is a collective choice we make to not let one another settle for anything less than Jesus' command to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, if you're still not convinced of the importance of knowing and being known, let's go back to the book of Genesis once again. Because at the end of chapter 2, we've got Adam and Eve, they're just chilling out, right? They're living their best life in the garden because they are living in perfect, holy community with God and with each other. As a matter of fact, chapter 2 ends with this phrase, "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." Do you see that? They fully know and are fully known by God and by each other. They are laid bare before God and each other, in their case literally, but also in every other way. And because they know and are fully known, there's no confusion. There's no deception. There's no embarrassment. There's no secrets. There's no sin. It is a picture of perfect unity, friendship, and community with our Heavenly Father and with each other. Well, once you know it, as soon as you turn the page, you'll see it doesn't last very long. In chapter 3 of Genesis, right after this beautiful picture of holy friendship and community, Adam and Eve are deceived. They choose to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they wanted to be God They wanted control. They knew what's best. They wanted to be in charge of their lives, just like we do. But as soon as I eat this fruit, we're told they immediately felt shame, and they had to hide their nakedness from each other. And then if we look at towards the end of this story here, in verses 8 through 10, we read, "When the cool of evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden." What a cool picture. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Well, then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know. He replied, "Well, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." So we can see that in their relationship with God and in their relationship with each other, they went from fully knowing and being fully known to this existence of having to hide who they really are and hide how they're really doing. They felt shame and disgust, and they started to hide their true self from God and from each other. Are we really any different from them? Think about it for a moment. All of the brokenness, frustration, and sin that you deal with happens because either you don't know what's really going on with someone else, or because no one else knows what's really going on with you. Everything falls apart when no one knows the truth. In Proverbs, we can read, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves." Isn't that the truth? See, that is true of our relationship with God, no doubt. And it is also true of our relationship with one another. See, when you just really don't know others and others really don't know you, everything gets messy. Our marriages fail because we don't really know who our spouse is becoming. We just know we don't like it. Our kids struggle because we don't take the time to really know what they're dealing with. We just know we don't like their attitude. Our churches fall apart because no one really knows what's going on with the pastor and their family. We just know we like their preaching. We fall apart because no one really knows us. And no one is allowed to shine the light of Jesus into our darkness, and it remains hidden while we suffer alone. That is why you were made to know and be known. So if this is true, why do we still not want to be known? You know what I mean? What is our holdup when we so desperately need holy friends in our lives? Well, I can point to two main reasons that I see in myself and that I see in others. The first reason we don't want to know and be known is fear. You might even call it embarrassment. In either case, we are terrified at the idea of someone else finding out how we're really doing, right? What's really going on with us on the inside? What we're really thinking? Maybe how bad our marriage really is? What terrible decisions we've made in our lives that have just destroyed our relationships, our finances, maybe our reputation? Maybe the mental health struggles, right, that we're just not dealing with very well? Maybe those family and health crises that we've been trying to manage on our own? Or maybe worst of all, that disgusting and evil sin that we're trying to hide from everybody else. See, the truth is, I could start listing off different sins right now that you most likely struggle with, because as we know, we all fall short of God's glory. And I know that you'd feel convicted, because that is what the Holy Spirit does in order to make you holy and righteous. Yes, being found out is scary, but it's necessary. The Apostle Paul actually says this about our sin, and he's talking about the things that we don't ever want anyone to find out about, those deep down. He says, "But everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." That is crazy. Do you understand what he's saying there? He is saying that the dark things that we don't want anyone to know about, those things that we don't want illuminated because we think they'll embarrass us, destroy us, or cost us what we value the most, can actually become the very thing that reflects the light of Jesus to others. See, God turns our darkness into light. He turns our pain into healing. He turns our ugliness into beautiful things for our benefit, the benefit of others, and for his glory. So let me ask you, what are you scared of? Are you afraid people will reject you when they find out what's really going on with you? Are you fearful that you'll be judged when someone else discovers that embarrassing sin you've been struggling with? Is fear stopping you from building holy relationships? Please hear me. You're not alone. Write down your fears and then start telling yourself the truth over and over again. You were made to know and be known. You are worthy to know and be known. Now, the second reason we don't want to know and be known is one I don't like talking about, but it's pride. And pride can take various forms. Pride manifests when we won't admit we're wrong or even entertain the idea that someone else might know better than us. Proverbs says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't want people or God in our business because it's our business. It's our stuff, and we'll deal with it alone. We don't need God or any other people in our lives messing around with our things. We can handle it ourselves, right? We don't need a crutch. Well, my friends, that's a lie. The prophet Isaiah actually tells us what sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. "The Lord can't see us," they say. "He doesn't know what's going on." How foolish can you be? See, when we say we can do it alone, that is our pride talking. We cannot and should not try to hide from God or from other followers of Jesus. The truth is, our relationship with Jesus is personal, but it was never intended to be private. You were not created to do life alone. You were created to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and walk arm in arm with holy friends. Now, another way that pride pops up is when we say we don't have the time and energy to invest and really know someone else. See, we just have a lot of other things going on at the moment, and investing in someone else, it just isn't in the cards right now, is it? We've got work commitments. We have family commitments. We got hobbies. You name it. It really doesn't matter. See, we would never admit it, but the truth is, we act like we're really important, and the world might stop spinning if we slowed down and took the time to really invest in and know someone else. But that, again, is our pride. The Apostle Paul tells us, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us." It's just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Make sure you consider how you value yourself and your time. And then finally, we have to deal with the pride of us simply not wanting to acknowledge God's claim on our lives. Because that would mean that we might have to stop doing some things we want to keep doing and start doing some things that we just don't want to do. But guess what? That is exactly what is supposed to happen when we are growing followers of Jesus. We read in Galatians, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." My friends, be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be corrected. Be willing to apologize. Be willing to be forgiven. Be willing to know and follow Jesus, and be willing to know and be known by investing in holy friendships. Now, just on a side note, if you're still thinking, "Oh, I'd love to do that, but I just can't seem to find the time or energy to invest in holy friendships," you might just need to put your phone down. Ooh, trust me, I hate that I have to say this because I love my phone. I'm really talking to myself first and foremost here. Honestly, this might be one of the main things that you really needed to hear today. It's okay to ignore Siri, Cortana, ChatGPT, Bixby, Jarvis, and Alexa for a while. See, a typical American spends 4 to 6 hours per day on their phones. Think about it. Other than your job and maybe sleeping, what else do you invest 4 to 6 hours of your time and energy into each day? And then even more importantly, what might happen if you put the phone down and you spent an extra 4 to 6 hours investing your time and energy into your relationship with God, with your spouse, with your kids, or with your holy friends. You might just find that you've been investing all your time and energy into the very thing that produces the greatest amount of stress, anxiety, and loneliness in your life. So let me ask you, is pride getting in the way of you developing holy friendships? Are you living like a spiritual lone wolf, trying to do this life alone? Do you act like you have all the answers and don't really need any other Christians speaking into your life? Is pride stopping you from building holy friendships? Please hear me. You're not alone. Write down the areas where your pride is getting the best of you, and then start telling yourself the truth over and over again. You were made to know and be known. You are worthy to know and be known. Now, Jesus tells us, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. So today, I'm proposing that instead of waiting for Judgment Day to be laid bare, let's engage with the Holy Spirit and one another to do the hard work of sanctification now. And just a reminder, you cannot do it alone. Did you hear me? You cannot do it alone. The church isn't just you and Jesus. The church is all of us together, living out the one another's and helping spur one another on to love and good works. And through my many years of working in ministry, I've discovered this amazing truth that it's really hard to live out the one another's when you don't have any others around you willing to do the same. If you want to know and become more like Jesus, then you need holy friends to come alongside of you on your spiritual journey. Throughout Scripture, we see a picture of knowing and being known everywhere. Even Jesus, who was certainly the most qualified and equipped person to do this life alone, didn't. He put himself around others because even when they weren't able to sharpen him, he was sharpening them. It's the same for you. When you're not in church, someone is missing out on seeing you, talking to you, or being encouraged by you. Something is missing when you don't show up. It's the same for our holy friendships. Someone needs you just as much as you need someone. Now, to those of you that are still pushing back and you're still thinking, Tony, don't worry about me. I got enough friends. Take a look at my Facebook or my Instagram or my TikTok. Yeah. I got literally thousands of friends. Hey, it's good to have all kinds of friends, but you need to make sure that you have holy friends as well. See, your other friends, they might tell you what you want to hear, but your holy friends will tell you what you need to hear. Your other friends might just celebrate your awesomeness, but your holy friends will celebrate the awesomeness of Jesus in you. Your other friends might let you coast and let you do you, but your holy friends will challenge you to know and become more like Jesus. Your other friends might celebrate your truth, but your holy friends are going to celebrate God's truth. Your holy friends will correct you, protect you, encourage you, and pray for you. The author in Proverbs reminds us, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. You were made to know and be known. Now, as we end today, let me tell you, holy friendships, they don't just appear out of thin air. See, just like a marriage relationship, holy friendships take work. You need to be intentional in finding your holy friends, and then together learn how to fully know and to be fully known. Because it's a process. It takes time to build trust, authenticity, and vulnerability. See, here at the Crossing Church, we know how difficult it can be to find your holy friends. That's why we offer small groups. They are a safe space for you to intentionally step into a community of Jesus followers, live out the one another's together, and develop holy friendships. Don't let this teaching and this truth pass you by. It's worth your time and effort because fully knowing and being fully known is one of God's greatest gifts to us and one of life's sweetest blessings. So let me ask you, what are your next steps today? I have two of them to offer you. First, as you've heard today, Jesus fully knows you and fully loves you. So the $8 billion question for you is, do you know Jesus? If you do, recommit yourself to know him more deeply, more fully. If you don't, choose to follow Jesus today and start the most important relationship you'll ever know. Accept him as your life leader and redeemer. Believe that he died on a cross, paying the debt of your sin, and then rose from the dead, defeating death and sin on your behalf. And in doing so, made a way for you to have a right relationship with God. And then choose to follow him for the rest of your life. Secondly, find your holy friends so that you may know and be known by others. Intentionally invest in relationships with Jesus followers so that you can live out the one another's in Scripture. Like I said, one of the best ways to do this is to join a small group. And a small group is just basically a group of believers that get together to challenge, pray, encourage, and spur one another on to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Or in other words, be the church. You can jump onto our website, see all of our open small groups, join one, and take an intentional step to know and be known. Would you pray with me? Father, it is scary to be known by others. We have a hard enough time being known by you. Holy Spirit, would you give us courage to take the risk to be known and the strength to carry the responsibility of knowing others. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for fully knowing us. And we pray that you reveal more of yourself so that we can know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please receive this blessing as you go throughout your day? May the Lord search you and know your heart. May the Lord test you and know your anxious thoughts. May the Lord point out anything in you that offends him, and may he lead you along the path of everlasting life. Go about your day in peace.